Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
We have a fascinating guest today. Coach Joe Kennedy, an 18-year Marine veteran, was an assistant coach for the Bremerton High School varsity football team. Before he even coached his first game, the Marine-turned-football coach made a commitment to God that he would give thanks at the conclusion of each game for what the players had accomplished and for the opportunity to be part of their lives through football. This was met with disapproval from his school district and turned into a lengthy court battle. But on June 27th of 2022, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Coach Kennedy and his First Amendment right. Since then, there's been a movie put out on his life called Average Joe and a new book, which we'll tag at the end of the show. But I'd like to welcome Joe Kennedy to Blessed to Play. Coach, it's so great to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me, buddy. Appreciate it.
Well, before we get into all this, I want to know, when did you want to coach and make an impact on young people's lives?
Well, I didn't even know I wanted to be a coach at first. I got out of the military and I thought out of the Marine Corps and I thought everything was going to just be nice and quiet. And I don't know, about a year after that, I kind of found my way with the Lord and he called me to coaching, and it wasn't something in my cards at the time, but it was his idea. So eventually I just kind of fell into it with him and I took it on full bore.
Now, this is not uncommon. I mean, I played high school sports, collegiate sports, and coaches do pray with their players. The location might be a little different. You prayed at the 50-yard line, but I don't think that's a big deal. And you probably went into this thinking that it was, you know, nothing that was going to be met with resistance. I'm sure you respected how your players believed, but it would be a coming together of the players. But just talk about incorporating spirituality into your coaching.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that it started out with just myself. I prayed on the 50-yard line alone for a good 6 months before anybody on the team even asked if they could join. And when the team came over and asked if they could join, I said, "This is America. Of course, you got the right to do whatever you guys want to do." And it just kind of grew from there. And it was never a big deal as far as anybody saw it as a odd thing. People have been praying on football fields for the beginning of time. And
yeah,
my thing, you know, was just my thing to start with. And it kind of grew up from there.
Now, I understand that the movie Facing the Giants kind of inspired you to do this. Is that true?
Yeah, that's very true. So I got offered the job on a Friday afternoon. And I went home, talked over with my family, and did I really want to do this? And Facing the Giants came on in the middle of the night, and it was like God reached through the TV set and just grabbed my heart. And yeah, Facing the Giants, that's where I got all of it from, is that I was going to give glory to God after every game right there on the battlefield. And that's where it came from, was Facing the Giants.
Well, let's talk about the respective athletes that you've coached and prayed with. You were at a secular high school, so no religious affiliation from the high school. How was this met from the players, you gathering them, or they actually coming to you because you were praying alone and taking part in prayer?
Yeah, mixed. It was most of the kids never cared about it because it was my thing. I did over the years. I coached for 8 years and prayed after games for 8 years, and we have 60 kids on the team every year. So that's a lot of kids that come through our program. I did have a couple parents and I did have a couple players over the years that asked concern if this was something mandatory or if the kid had to do it, and some of them expressed they didn't want their kid to participate. And it's a small community, so nobody ever had a problem with me doing it. If they didn't want to pray, that was fine. Nobody cared.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, we're chatting today with Joe Kennedy. He's a former assistant football coach at Bremerton High School, and had a lengthy court battle on June 27th of 2022. The Supreme Court, the law of the land, ruled in favor of Coach Kennedy and his First Amendment right. Okay, so you went on for a period of time doing this, and just to make the distinction, you were the head JV coach, but were the assistant at the varsity level. So how did the head coach at varsity respond to you doing this praying with the players? And when was it that you met resistance for doing so?
Yeah, well, every single coach has prayed, at least in our coaching staff, prayed before games in the locker room. And a lot of them took turns praying afterwards and either joining me afterwards after the game. Some of the coaches are old school and they don't want to be seen with the other team afterwards. So it was never a big deal with them. The head coach, he didn't have a problem with it. Nobody ever had a problem with it. That was the weirdest thing, is actually everything came from a compliment and never came from anybody filing a complaint or saw something wrong with it.
And this grew over time, didn't it, Joe? I mean, your players obviously joined you, but the opposing players and coaches actually joined you to pray as well.
Right. Yeah. Over the years, it grew. And, you know, a small community, the kids, they play peewee football and stuff together. Mm-hmm. And as they go into junior high and high school, they might split differences of schools. And they wanted to know if they could invite the other team. And of course, I mean, it's their team. They want to invite the other team out. And in the eighth year, we had every single team in our league joining us on the 50. It became something really cool in our community.
You know, it's so interesting about this, because if there's an injury on the field, a lot of times at the collegiate, even at a professional level, I'm sure at high school as well, what do? They take a knee. Exactly. And it's not meant but some resistance. Don't get on your knee. Please don't get on your knee and pray right now. But so when did the resistance start? So obviously you were doing this for a period of time, and this is probably, you were, you know, to use a football term, you were blindsided, I'm sure, by this.
Yeah. One of the games that we had, an educator from another school district came and saw our game and was very impressed with if we actually lost the game, and they saw us come together after this really, you know, really good rival team. And they saw us all praying together, interlocking arms on the 50, and just thought it was awesome. So they called the principal of our school and gave a compliment, which led to an investigation, and the school district lawyers were the ones that got really nervous about it and just wanted to poo-poo it. They thought it was so much easier just to remove it than to deal with it.
All right, so they had this notion that they wanted to remove it, and there was this a course of action that took place, and it made it really difficult for you to pray. So when were you, quote-unquote, reprimanded and told, don't do this anymore?
Yeah, it was right after the very first time it became when they were doing the investigation. The athletic director was advising me not to do it because the principal was asking about it, and the head coach and some of the other coaches were getting nervous, because anytime the administration pokes their head into our football program, everybody gets a little squishy. And it was after that game that I prayed, and That's what started it. One simple post on Facebook and Instagram. I just did one post and it became viral overnight. I wrote, I think I just got fired for praying. And from there, it spun out of control. So right away, I got a letter of reprimand telling me what I couldn't do. And they did that three times. They gave me three different letters of direction telling me where I could pray, how I could pray, where I was supposed to do all this, and just became a complete mess.
Yeah. Let's to play Ron Meyer. Once again, we're chatting with Joe Kennedy, a former assistant football coach at Bremerton High School. And his court case went to the highest court, the Supreme Court, to protect his First Amendment right and those who would come after him. So, okay, it's one thing to be reprimanded, Joe. It's one thing to not like the decision of the school board. And there's another... it's another decision to take this through the courts, which you knew would be a battle indeed. And this wasn't easy for you. It affected your family. Obviously, it affected you, and you knew a battle was to be ongoing. So talk about when you decided, or did someone give you some guidance that you should take this to the courts so they can make a decision for your First Amendment right?
It happened so fast that the school district lawyers, they got involved almost immediately when they started telling me what I could and could not do. And I thought we were in perfect agreement in the first month, that they said, just stop praying with the players and no one should have a problem with it anymore. And I was fine with that, because it was my thing to begin with. No problem there. So I never prayed with the players again. Then, but the school district, the opposing team joined us, and the school district kind of freaked out about that and didn't know what to do. That's when their lawyer said, you need to stop praying altogether. And I thought I needed help because I don't know the law. You know, as far as the Constitution makes sense to me, the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment sounds very clear. But I needed somebody who knew the expertise of that. And First Liberty Institute out of Plano, Texas called and heard about it. And they said, hey, this is our specialty. We want to hear about your case. And they're the ones who started advising me legally what my rights were as an American.
All right, Joe, I want to take a break. But on the other side, I want to talk about how this went to the Supreme Court and all the trials and tribs that you went through this process until a decision was made on that day in the month of June, the day 27 of 2022. We're talking with Joe Kennedy, former assistant head football coach, or assistant football coach at Bremerton High School, when Blessed to Play returns right after this.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Joe Kennedy, a former assistant football coach at Bremerton High School in Bremerton, Washington. He was known for praying at the 50-yard line, folks, but the Bremerton school board did not like that. In fact, they stopped him from praying with the team that he was coaching, even opposing coaches coming and joining him and opposing players. And Joe started off praying by himself, so this wasn't really orchestrated. It happened very organically. And he felt his rights were being violated. And it came to a point where he went through the court system and had a favorable court decision through the Supreme Court. And Joe, you mentioned having some guidance out of Texas legally, and now the fight was on, so to speak. So why don't you take us through the steps of the court proceedings that led to it getting to the Supreme Court?
Yeah. And it, you know, to me, this was not a big deal. This was a 15-second prayer, somebody expressing their faith on a field. And it, to me, it just had made absolutely no sense. And I was at odds with the school district. Even my team couldn't understand. They said, coach, can't you just give in and you know, give in to the school district? And yeah, that would have been the easy thing to do. And it would have been the most painless thing to do, but it wasn't the right thing to do. So I had to stand up for what I believed in and knew my rights as an American. The First Amendment is pretty clear. And even my wife couldn't understand it. She was the HR director for the school district. So you can imagine the turmoil it caused within our family. Mm-hmm. And the lower courts, they started ruling and they said, really, they put it in the black and white where it said that any display of religion in the public square could get you terminated. And that just, I mean, that really freaked me out. Could you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Any display of that, even a Jesus fish on your car parked in public could get you a ticket. I mean, that's how crazy this got.
Yeah, definitely a fight for religious liberty for sure. So, okay, this caused turmoil within your family. You alluded to that. Your wife worked in HR, but this wasn't easy for you to, and you, let's make this clear too. You weren't going after compensatory damages initially.
Yeah, no. Yeah. The only thing I ever asked for from the very beginning was to be reinstated as a coach and to be able to pray on the 50-yard line after the game. So it was a simple ask that there was, I didn't ask for money. It was a whole principle of it, of the First Amendment, that if you take this away from me, imagine what they're doing for everybody else. And I just couldn't stand for that.
Okay, so you got the news that SCOTUS was going to hear this case. What were your thoughts at that time?
I was very optimistic about what the Supreme Court does, because they look at things in the whole entire picture. To me, you can't get any more just than the Supreme Court. That's why it's the last one in the lineup. But the only thing I was nervous about, if we didn't win, if we ended up losing, the lower cases would have stuck, and I would have messed up religious freedom for everybody in the United States. So I wasn't necessarily worried about winning anything. I was more worried about it losing and having it where I screwed up religious freedom for all Americans.
When the Supreme Court, when you got word that they ruled in favor of you, was that a big weight lifted off your shoulders?
Yeah, that's the best way to say it. There wasn't even time to be excited about it or, you know, run a victory lap or anything like that. It was just like the weight of the world came off my shoulders. And I knew the Constitution and the First Amendment is alive and well, and that this is a free country and God is very much involved in our lives.
So tell me the aftermath of this. I'm sure you had so many correspondences from coaches who prayed with their team, just people in general who are open to religious liberty. Just talk about the flood of feedback that you received after the decision of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I would love to say all the professional people that I talked to, you know, like the Deion Sanders and Chan Hennings and all these professional athletes and the ones you see even in today in the playoffs in college football, everybody's given praise to God. And those are really cool. But it was I think the best thing is having these young kids come to me and say, hey, I saw your movie, I read your book, and I understand that what the importance of this is. And to hear that these young men are actually out there leading prayer on a football field now, I think that just shows the best victory altogether.
Plus to play, Ron Meyer chatting today with Joe Kennedy, former assistant football coach at Bremerton High School. Took his case of his First Amendment rights from praying at the 50-yard line to the Supreme Court. A favorable decision was granted by the Supreme Court. Joe, going back to the school board, and I'm trying to figure out their motivation here, do you think this was more politically motivated than anything else?
Oh, it absolutely was. Once you start realizing the sad state of affairs our education system is, and I can't speak for all of America, but I know in Washington State that the lawyer groups that head all the legal representation for the state of Washington, they're all funded and backed up by the Freedom from Religious Foundation. Mm-hmm. So there's outside influences that are trying to battle it's good versus evil every single day. And there's people behind the scenes. I wish I could say, you know, point the finger at the superintendent or the school board, but they were just mere puppets they're pawns in the game.
So you decided that you could be the best advocate for religious liberty by working outside of the school system. So post Supreme Court decision, post coaching football, what have you done and how has your life evolved from that period of time?
Yeah, a whole lot. Where it's not just a group of kids on a football field or in our neighborhood. We're actually going around all over the country. You see it in Louisiana and Texas. They're bringing back the Ten Commandments into the public square, into the courthouses, where crosses were taken down in public. They're being put back up. So this case affected over 7,000 different cases. Mm. And if we have more religious freedom now than we've had in the past 50 years. And to me, that just says a whole lot about our country is turning towards the right way. I know that it's not there yet, but it just takes one person to be able to stand up, some average guy to stand up and say, no, no more of this nonsense and stand up for what is right. And that's what I've been doing, is encouraging others to do the same.
Well, you said average guy, and I understand there was a movie called Average Joe, which is on your life. And it was in movie theaters. Now it's on streaming platforms. But talk about the movie, and were you happy with the depiction of yourself in the movie?
Yeah, that was so great. The director, Harold Cronk, and the actors that played us, Eric Close, they were so true to our story. That's what the beauty of it was, is that they said we wanted respect, and we didn't want to make it this big Hollywood ties thing, and we didn't want some cheesy religious film. We wanted something that was real life and good entertainment, and had a message to send. And I think they just did a phenomenal job. Our writer, Stephanie Katz, and the producer, Bob Katz. I mean, these people are just incredible servants and want to just go out there and spread the word. And I think they did a fantastic job. They made it true to life.
Indeed. I want to talk about your faith, because for you to go through all this, obviously you were motivated by faith, right? But for you to go through all this, and we didn't talk, you know, it's depicted in the movie, you had, you know, almost came to a divorce with your wife too. I mean, this was a lot of friction this brought on, but just talk about your faith life and looking at the movie, your resignation to God and your commitment to him, that took a lot of guts.
Yeah. It seemed like the simplest thing, just having a little bit of faith. And that's what I just try to emulate to what I've always taught my guys: do what's right, even if it's not popular, and to stand up for what they believe in. And my faith played a huge part in that, of standing up. This is my chance to stand up for God and to defend the people of America. And there was times that's all I had was my faith. My wife and I almost got divorced over this. It tore apart a bunch of relationships that we've had.
Have you been able to talk to other coaches or people who, you know, sometimes when you set the example and they know someone else has done something, it gives people power and strength. Have other coaches reached out to you and say, hey, you know, I am renewed in my faith and I am going to make sure I stand up for what is right?
Yeah, that is the most, and it's not just on the football field. I've heard it from other coaches in other sports, men and women's. And interesting is that it's gone all over the place. You hear about bus drivers that will stand up for their faith now. You talk about anybody in the public square is not afraid to even bring a Bible and put it on their desk, no matter where they work. Mm-hmm. So I've been hearing from people all over the United States, actually all across the world, that these people are inspired and empowered, going, hey, I can make a difference. And just with the strength of God, I could get through it all.
We're chatting with Coach Joe Kennedy, an 18-year Marine veteran. And I'm a high school football coach assistant at Bremerton High School. And we talked about, you know, just going to the Supreme Court to stick up for his religious liberty, his First Amendment right. I want to key in on that word Marine. How much did that help you through this process?
I think it helped me so much, for the simple fact of Marines, we never quit. We don't know how to surrender to things. And that was a huge part of it. Even though I didn't really know where to stand as far as a lack of better words, a Christian, a person of faith, what mm-hmm. Do you do what you think is right or what your employer says is right? And it was pretty clear to me, and as far as I was an American before I became a Christian, and mm-hmm. I was going to stand up for the rights of all Americans, and they just happened to overlap with each other. And I think that's what it's all about, is that people standing up for what they believe in, and most people are have a right moral compass, and we're just afraid to use it.
And Marines would defend our First Amendment right, is that correct?
Absolutely. We fight and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that covers all the amendments.
Hmm. Well, Joe, your book, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation, and you have changed a nation, but just talk about writing this book and what you hope to convey to those who would read it.
I really think that people would just be inspired knowing that the perfect Christian does not exist. I am so, so far from it. And it really is the average people every day that God uses, and he will equip the people that he has called. And we just have to be obedient to it. And I think they could just read the book and understand that, wow, this kid was a mess. He's been a train wreck his whole entire life, but yet God could use this one insignificant person to change the course of a nation. So that should inspire a lot of people to be able to stand up.
Well, I don't want your wife, Denise, to get lost in this. I know you have 4 children as well. So talk about Denise's support through this and her growth through. She probably didn't expect all this to happen in her life. And what is she thinking at this time?
Yeah. And it, when you read the book and see the movie Average Joe, you'll understand how much of an impact she had in there. And that she was 50% of this entire story. And we were at so much odds. Like I said earlier, we almost got divorced over this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until that breaking point where God stepped in and opened her eyes that this was a fight for everyone. And that God was the one that called me to this. And she joined my side where two became one. And then we were stronger than ever. And our marriage is unbreakable. And our relationship with God is just the key for everything.
When you were going through this turmoil at the height of it, what was your prayer to God?
I think half of it was asking God, why me? Are you sure you got the right guy? Because this, I felt like a fraud standing up for religious freedom when here I am, this big train wreck. And really, it was just, God, every day, get me through it. Let me wake up another day and fight one more battle. And there's a verse, because I'm not a real biblical guy, but 2 Timothy 4:7 was kind of like my mantra. It was fight the good fight, finish the race, and remain faithful. And that's what I ask God to help me do every single day.
Indeed. Fight the good fight. Well, Joe Kennedy did just that. Joe, I want to thank you for standing up for what you believe in. And, you know, you went through a lot of trials and tribs along this route to the Supreme Court to get that decision. But I'm sure you're affecting a lot of people to stand up for the First Amendment and religious liberty. And we wish you all the best in your future work doing so and being an advocate. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
Hey, thank you, brother. Keep fighting a good fight.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Coach Joe Kennedy, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.